Herzlich willkommen, meine Damen und Herren. Herzlich willkommen in West Palm Beach. Wir befinden uns in der Nähe von Trumps Hauptquartier und neben mir sitzt Karen Journal. Karen war Chefstrategin von Donald Trump 2016, als sie das Rennen in Florida gewonnen haben und schließlich auch Donald Trump Präsident wurde. Und später wurde sie Beraterin des Präsidenten. Von ihr möchte ich gerne erfahren, was es braucht, um zu gewinnen in einem Bundesstaat und auch im ganzen Land und wie es sich anfühlt an diesem ominösen, wichtigen Wahltag. Karen, it's a great privilege and honor to have you. And I would like to start with a question that came up in the recent days. The Kamala Harris team criticized Donald Trump for being, you know, afraid of strong and intelligent women. Now, you're not only a strong and intelligent woman, but you are a very successful businesswoman. What do you think of this criticism?
Well, it's utterly ridiculous for a couple reasons. The first and foremost, I know Donald Trump. I was his state director in Florida in 2015-2016 during the primaries and into the general election, was promoted four times during that campaign. In fact, there's a press release where he promotes me and Kellyanne Conway at the same time going up the ladder with regard to the campaign and our roles on the campaign.
So, you know, you've been working for how many years? 35 years, I think, and you had five presidential cycles.
Yeah.
Is the country today more divided than ever before?
I believe it is. I put this squarely on the Democrats for instituting identity politics and inserting it into our culture. You see it every single day now, where you have to identify with one group or the other in order to be accepted in your society.
Now, you've worked for George Bush Sr., you've worked for many prominent people, including Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas. How different is it to work for Donald Trump? And what's the difference between Donald Trump and all the other candidates that we've known and you have worked for?
Yeah, it's a great question because I think people have forgotten why he's so unique. Donald Trump is unique. He's unique in history. He's unique to politics. And there's not going to be another Donald Trump. Fortunately or unfortunately, depends on what side of the aisle you're on, but we recognize him as this unique figure because he was a businessman, because he was not a politician, because he got into the presidential race in 2015 with 16 other very strong candidates for the nomination for the Republican Party. Remember, the RNC did not want him at the time to be the nominee. And so there was a struggle for the identity of the party. And clearly, Donald Trump, being this unique, strong figure who was able to actually change the way that the Republican Party operated, where it reflected more of the grassroots people, the everyday American, he's really harnessed the blue-collar worker over to the Republican Party. They have been traditionally with the Democrats for multiple generations, and that is no longer the case.
And this has been a breathtaking campaign so far, including, sadly to say, two assassination attempts. One, Donald Trump slightly survived. Has it changed him? You know the man. Has it changed him?
He says it has. I believe him. I don't know. I don't see how it couldn't. But I look at his actions and I look at how he's reflected upon it. Life is fleeting. This could change tomorrow based on any tragedy. But what happened at that rally, when you look at what's usual versus unusual, this should not have happened. I've put together probably a dozen or more of those rallies during the 2016 campaign. I know how they run. And it shouldn't have happened. And so the fact that the president has really maintained his composure, raw determination, has created, and I believe, a new opportunity to grow the base. You're seeing alpha men, or just men in general, looking at him as the only option in this race because of his strength and his just willful, raw determination.
Yeah, I was attending a rally recently in North Carolina, and a lot of people referred to that assassination attempt and said hard words in a positive way about Donald Trump. They said he's badass. Has that, as you say, enlarged the base?
I believe it has. Look, everyone loves a success story too, and someone who has been able to recover from something that could have been extremely tragic. It makes you pause and take reflective tones here when you're talking about, if you're honest, okay, and if you're thoughtful, you're going to really reflect upon that particular incident and look at it through a couple lenses. One, how it affected Donald Trump, but also how does that affect you and your family, okay, and your fellow citizens, and the process of what the Democrats love to say, democracy, our constitutional republic. It is being stress tested. But the fact that Donald Trump popped back up and said, fight, 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 you saw people who were on their couch, maybe apathetic prior to that, getting off the couch and actually going to vote. So we're looking at low propensity voters and mid propensity voters. These are people that don't vote normally, are getting off the couch to vote.
We're heading into the election day, and I guess everybody is jumping off the couch because it's going to be a nail biter. That's what everybody says.
Or a blowout. It's either a nail biter or a blowout. It's one or the other.
What is it like on election day in the team of a candidate? Are you biting your nails? Are you waiting for the numbers to come in? What is going on?
It's pretty intense. I mean, you have what's called the war room. And so the top senior folks within the campaign proper are all kind of on top of each other in this very small, tiny room with computers going and the stats are coming in, and you know the numbers are being crunched, and we're getting a sense of things. And you have to keep in mind there's only seven states that really matter here, and so the ability to look at early voting numbers and in-person voting for tomorrow, because tomorrow's election day here, and all of the absentee ballots, they start to all come in, and all of this data is crunched, and all of these numbers it's a numbers gamers. Okay, so you have more in your column, you win, you have less in your column, you lose. So this is all about that number. That win number in each one of these seven states have been determined. Are they going to hit that win number? Mm-hmm.
Are you confident that Donald Trump will make the race? What is your prediction?
I'm pretty confident that he's going to win. I mean, that's a big prediction, right? That's something that I don't normally say. And one of the things that I think is determining that is the fact that he has more pathways to a victory. So it's really a law of averages.
Let me explain that. Pathways means he has more options to win the race.
Correct.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. So, for instance, in 2016, Florida was considered the largest swing state in the nation, and it was a must-win state for a Republican. Although Donald Trump defied the odds because he actually won Wisconsin. He didn't really need Florida. But moving forward, every Republican really does need to win Florida. I don't think Florida is a swing state any longer. I think we are a solidly red state. However, there are other states out there, these seven other states, that are required to hit the 270. You have to hit 270 to become the president of the United States in this country. So that's the number, okay? If you look at Pennsylvania, that's in play. Donald Trump won it in 2016, okay, and has the ability to win it again. And the ground game operation is prolific. There are people on the ground every single day. I have people that I worked with in 2016 who decided to take time off from work to go in there and door knock. I was like, you're kidding me. You're in Pennsylvania door knocking. Absolutely anything to help. You have surrogates that are out there now. You have coalition, the heads of coalitions that are really trying to rally the base and rally these coalitions to ensure that there's maximum turnout.
Can you tell us a secret? What will you do tomorrow night? Where will you be? Where will you watch?
I'll be stuck in
where
my computer.
Where will you bite your nails?
It's funny. Look, I think that Donald Trump is going to have a wonderful watch party at the convention center in West Palm Beach. Mar-a-Lago is just too small now in order to host these parties. You used to do it there. In New York, when in 2016, it was a wonderful party as well. And as we watched the election numbers come in for state by state, I think he's going to be glued to that. I'm going to be glued to that. Again, we're either going to know fairly early that Donald Trump is the next president of the United States. We may have to wait. There will be a few potential states that may be too close to call and will require a few more weeks in order to count all of the ballots, especially absentee ballots. But we will know certainly by the end of this year. I hear that there are people like predicting that we're not going to know who the president is. Now, that's not true. The electors have to actually certify this by mid-December, so we will know who our president is.
That's a good message. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Karen. It's a great pleasure to have you.
It's great to be here.
Good.
A little better.